Well, hi, gang. I'm Steve Charney, and the name of the program is Knock on Wood. Today we're going to be playing a lot of things that deal with tomatoes. Don't ask me why. Also, Harry's going to be in, and he has a new profession, and it's related to vegetables, so I guess tomatoes sort of. It's all sort of tied together. I won't call it a theme show, but it is a theme show anyway. I can say anything I want. I could just talk gibberish. I could just go for like a half hour, and well, the only thing you could do is turn me off. You can't find me and beat me up. No, you can't. Well, I guess you could if you really worked hard at it. Okay, well, let's see. I'm babbling incoherently here. Just as these fellows do.
Tomatoes, they'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch, and finish you off for dinner or lunch. They're marching down the halls, they're crawling up the walls, they're gooey, gushy, squishy, mushy, rotten to the core, they're standing outside your door. While taking out his garbage, he turned around and he did see tomatoes hiding in his tree. Now he's just a memory. I know I'm going to miss her. A tomato ate my sister. Sacramento fell today. They're marching into San Jose. Tomatoes are on their way. On vacation, the governor's fled the nation. The police have gone on strike today. The National Guard has run away. Tomatoes will have their day. Attack of the killer tomatoes. Attack of the killer tomatoes. They'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch, and finish you off for dinner or lunch. Lunch, lunch, dinner or lunch.
From the movie Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's funny. Okay, and oh, here's Harry. Good, because we got things to do. So, Harry, how you doing, man?
Sorry, Steve. Can't be part of the show today.
What do you mean you can't be part of the show? Come on, we have a script and everything to do. It's right here.
Sorry, I just have too big a caseload today. I have a lot of work to do sorting through their files and everything.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you know I've opened up a practice, Steve? I'm counseling vegetables.
Huh?
Vegetables, man! Vegetables! What, you don't think a tomato can have psychological problems, too? Only humans are sensitive enough to get depressed? Well, you're wrong, fella. Vegetables need help, too, you know.
But vegetables don't have a mind. They don't even have a face.
That's often their problem. For instance, I've been working with an artichoke that has a very strong inferiority complex. And why? Because he has no face! It's terrible! I have to keep instilling in him the notion that he's unique and special!
Is it getting better?
Of course not! He's just an artichoke, for Pete's sake.
Oh.
But I keep trying. Where there's life, there's hope. Plus, the money's pretty good.
Who else are you counseling?
I got a cauliflower with a tremendous identity crisis.
Why is that?
Well, on one hand, she's supposed to be a flower, right? She's called a cauliflower. Did you ever see a cauliflower? Looks like someone's brain. It's disgusting. What kind of flower is that?
It's a pretty ugly flower.
Hence the identity crisis. It keeps trying to act like a daisy, you know, delicate and petite. Did you ever see a hippo at a tea party? That's the cauliflower. So I'm working with her to get her to see her inner beauty.
Does she have inner beauty?
Of course not. She's just a dumb vegetable.
You know, I don't know if you're a very good therapist.
I'm the best, Steve. Who else would take on these vegetables? Most of the time they just sit there like, well, like vegetables. It's hard to get them to say anything. I've got this piece of celery with a tremendous case of agoraphobia.
What's that?
Fear of the marketplace. Now, we all know a celery's ultimate destiny, right? It goes to the market, gets sold in a bunch, then it's brought home. Someone munches it down in a tuna salad or maybe with a little cream cheese and salt. This stalker celery has to learn to accept its fate, but it doesn't. It's petrified of the unknown, of being brought to someone's house who's mean and nasty. It has terrible dreams of being left out on the counter until it's limp and brown. I keep telling it, worry is useless. Be the best celery you can be right at this moment. It's hard work, Steve, but I think I'm getting through to it.
So your work is the good work?
Of course it is.
Do you have vegetables that exhibit, let's say, violent behavior?
Yes. I have a tomato that goes to plays and throws himself at the actors. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if it was at bad actors. But he'll throw himself at anyone. For instance, Al Pacino.
Get out of here. Al Pacino?
That's right. That's how sick this tomato is. There was Al doing Shakespeare in Central Park last year, one of the great performances of all time. And who comes up and throws himself on Pacino's King Lear costume? My tomato, that's who. He had reached bottom. It was lucky he wasn't lynched by the audience. Now, if he had thrown himself at Chuck Norris, this I could have understood. But Al Pacino, come on.
Let's take a break.
Fine, maybe I'll have some time to go over these case files. I got a lot of work to do, and I don't have time to talk to you.
They made a movie not long ago that had to do with vegetables. It showed a hothouse, and tremendous hothouse, new experimenting. And they showed the fellas walking around. They were trying to develop new kinds of fruit. You know, we have different, so many people now, we have to feed more. So they showed a fellow walking around with a stethoscope and a white jacket, and he's listening to the onions. You know, see how it's going. And hey, they're getting kind of wild. And the picture starts off nice like that, somewhere in Kansas. The next scene, the hothouse is cracked open. And they come running out and say, what happened? They said, one of the tomatoes escaped. And the scene shifts to a small town. And the people are running around screaming, the tomato is coming! And sure enough, a tremendous tomato attacks this town. Enormous. Red with a little green over here. Rotten tomato. And it turns out this tomato doesn't like people. That's luck. And the tomato attacks the people. It attacks these people by spritzing them with the tomato juice all over them. It gets tomato juice all over the people, and they want to fight back. But if you ever get ketchup all over your clothes, you don't care anymore. You want to go home, you know. But it's too late. Once the tomato juice hits the people, they become vitamized. And they can't make a move. They become like zombies. And all throughout the movie, the whole town becomes the slaves of the tomato. And you see each one of them bringing a little lettuce to the tomato. And here and there, a wise guy wants to get on the good side of the tomato, brings a little mayonnaise. You know. Meanwhile, the tomato keeps on growing. They shoot bullets into it, loves everything. So now what happens is that somehow or other, throughout the world, the vegetables hear about the tomato. All the vegetables, and they know they have a leader. And now all the vegetables throughout the world start to revolt. And it shows you pictures of housewives trying to cut cucumbers, and they're going, ha, 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 you know, doing bumps and grinds on the table, something terrible. So they declare a national emergency. They declare a national emergency, and you show they fly in a fella from the State Department, a fruit man, and he comes. Anyhow, send in the fruit man. And he comes in, man from the State Department, with an attaché case full of money. And they all step back, and he goes forward all alone with the attaché case, and he offers the tomato money to go away. And the tomato takes the money and doesn't go away. It's just like real life, this movie. So now, now the army gets a tremendous idea. And if you've ever been in the army, you know how dangerous that can be. Retired colonel, not the guy. So they decide they're going to surround the tomato and they'll set fire to it. So they see hundreds of hoses. The soldiers come around. And with hundreds of hoses, they start spraying it down with alcohol. Tomato doesn't know what's going on. Rather pathetically, spritzes back. Suddenly the alcohol mixes with tomato juice and the air is flooded with Bloody Marys all over the place. And the army goes wild. But go see it. It's called The Red Menace.
That was Milt Kamen. Gee, he was pretty much describing that movie, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, the theme song that I played earlier. And he did that before the movie came out, so maybe they took that idea from him. Who knows? Okay, well, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. We're dealing with vegetables. We're dealing with tomatoes today. Harry is now a therapist. He counsels vegetables with disorders.
Right, Steve. During that last recorder, I've been going over the file here of this zucchini with an eating disorder.
Ooh, I didn't know that zucchinis eat.
They don't. They get eaten. And no one wants to eat this one. It's sad, Steve. Very sad. In the beginning, I thought, I'll just try harder. It would nuzzle up to some chef in a fancy kitchen and, you know, sort of cuddle up to the blade. But the chef would just shunt it aside. It would roll up to some housewife who was making dinner for her family and pretend to dive into a hot pan with olive oil in it. But no luck. People weren't buying it. Well, soon it began to think it wasn't them. It was him. For some reason, no one wanted to eat it. And it began to feel bad, real bad. It would sit around listless and depressed.
Well, what did you do to make it feel better?
I ate it. Good, too.
Who else are you counseling?
Oh, I've been working with a pickle with a terrible guilt complex.
Why?
Because it has a yellow tinge to its skin. Passes as a banana, Steve. Pickles and bananas tend to have the same shape. So there's this pickle going to a fancy dress banana balls, hanging around in the banana bowl, feeling guilty of sin because deep down he knows it's a simple pickle and should be in a pickle jar fermenting with the rest of his downtrodden kin.
And he feels guilty.
Yes, he should be working to help his fellow pickles instead of gallivanting around like a social butterfly. You see, in the vegetable world, a fruit has panache, social grace, and sweetness.
Wow, he's in a real pickle.
At least he's firm. I have a cucumber who sees me once a week who's limp.
Limp?
Limp! Barely has the energy to come to my office. You know how a cuke should be springy and buoyant? Well, this cucumber is limp.
What do you do to help it?
Physical therapy.
Which entails?
Slapping it around a bit and shouting, "Stop being limp! Stop being limp!"
Does it help?
No, but it's fun to do.
Aren't you going to make the cucumber even more upset?
When are you going to understand these are just vegetables, for Pete's sake?
You don't seem like a very understanding therapist.
Listen, I didn't ask for your advice to begin with. I've got a lot of work to do here. For instance, all right, here's a file of a tomato with a great fear of heights.
Why?
He's afraid of being dropped, then squished. Here's another tomato with a fear of enclosed spaces.
Why?
She's afraid of being squashed, then squished. Here's another tomato who's afraid of floors.
Why?
It's afraid of being stepped on, then squished. You see, the word squish is the most horrific word in the tomato language.
I didn't know.
Squished, squished, squashed, and the sound...
Where did you learn how to counsel vegetables?
You don't have to learn, Steve. You just do it.
You don't have any credentials.
What's the matter with you? What, am I going to be arrested for trying to help a vegetable? Even the stupidest human is thousands of times smarter than, let's say, an avocado.
But you're not a human, you're a dummy.
Look, I don't need to talk to you about this. I've got a heavy caseload, and I need to finish my work. Put on a recording so I don't have to talk to you anymore.
Fine. Jeesh.
I can't forget that early April birthday. I remember when they sprouted on the sill. And happy was their planting in the earth day. The aroma of their roots is with me still. Each year brings a garden full of labors. My fingernails are full of potting soil. When finally I bestow upon my neighbors the juicy ripened fruit of all my toil, they like them more than okra or zucchini, to put on ravioli or linguine. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, what would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. There's nothing in the world that I like better than making a sandwich with a homegrown tomato. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't pick a hard one. Plant them in spring and eat them all summer. Wintertime without them is a culinary bummer. Forget all about the sweat and the digging. Every time you go out and pick you a big one, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. When you're feeling droopy, one thing's for sure, there's nothing that a homegrown tomato can't cure. Put 'em in salads, put 'em in stews, make your own tomato juice. Eat 'em with eggs or eat 'em with gravy, eat 'em with beans, pinto or navy. Put 'em on the side, put 'em in the middle, put your homegrown tomatoes on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. If I could change this life I lead, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed. I know what this country needs, homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. So when I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better, so I can be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? There's only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. I'm getting hungry. You about ready for lunch? Let's go make a sandwich.
Grian McGregor from her album McGregor's Garden. It's the Ivy Vine Players Puppet Theater. That's a Guy Clark song. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Well, Harry has a new therapy practice. He counsels vegetables. Pickles with guilt complexes. Tomatoes with a fear of heights. You know, I didn't realize that vegetables have as many neuroses as humans do.
Well, all except attention deficit, Steve. They tend to stay pretty focused.
I suppose. Well, who else is in your caseload?
Let's see. I have a plum here with multiple personalities.
Really?
Sure. Sometimes he acts like a plum. Other times he's a prune. Then suddenly he'll switch and roll around like a big grape. Ha! And you should see him as a large raisin. What a mess!
Well, at least he doesn't think he's a head of lettuce.
Well, that's what you think.
Did you ever deal with, an arugula?
Are you kidding? The arugulas are in the most need of therapy. They are so arrogant. With a name like that, wouldn't you be? Arugula. They don't realize that deep down they're as moronic as the rest of the vegetable family. They think they're so hoity-poity. But I put them in their place.
How?
I cut them up in a garden salad. After they hang out with a few plebeian tomatoes and radishes, they feel differently.
It gives them a new lease on life?
Well, what's left of their life, I usually eat them first so they don't have much time to enjoy their newfound clarity.
That's cruel. You eat your patients.
How many times do I have to tell you? These are vegetables!
Well, I hope you get paid in advance.
Only cash. Did you ever get a check by a vegetable? It's really hard to read their signature or even how much they're paying you. That's because they don't have hands. It's hard to sign your name without a hand.
What kind of names do vegetables have, anyway?
Who knows? I can never understand them when they tell me.
I don't know. This whole thing is sounding fishier and fishier.
Fish! Now that's my other practice. Did I ever tell you about this tuna that I counsel as a schizophrenic?
Another time, Harry. Another time. Nancy Tucker is doing her takeoff on the Garden Song. Remember David Mallet's? This was actually quite a big hit. She's having a little fun with it.
Inch by inch, row by row, bugs and weeds are all I grow. Just dropped a big rock on my toe, I think I broke a bone. Inch by inch, row by row, one more weed my back will go. Can't wait until it starts to snow and hides this battle zone. Blistered hands, dripping sweat, bugs and weeds ain't licked me yet. Rototiller left me in debt, no money left for seeds. Sunburned shoulders sting with pain, weeks without a drop of rain. A horsefly's driving me insane and woodchucks ate my beans. Inch by inch, row by row, bugs and weeds are all I grow. Just dropped a big rock on my toe, I think I broke a bone. Inch by inch, row by row, one more weed my back will go. Can't wait until it starts to snow and hides this battle zone. Dirt and pebbles fill my shoes, ivy rash on my wazoo. I got the self-sufficient blues, my luck had better turn. Thickweed, ragweed, dandelion, all these crops I grow just fine. My garden is a holy shrine to the god of cabbage worms. And inch by inch, row by row, bugs and weeds are all I grow. Just dropped a big rock on my toe, I think I broke a bone. Inch by inch, row by row, one more weed my back will go. Can't wait until it starts to snow and hides this battle zone. Can't wait until it starts to snow and hides this battle zone.
Well, today from Studio B, we have a gentleman who owns a plant store.
That's right.
What's the name of your plant store?
Plants Are Lovely.
Mm-hmm. What's unusual about your plant store?
You've read in magazines and things that when you're nice to a plant, they will bloom.
You talk
to late
plants,
bloomers.
Or, mm-hmm.
If you're mean to them, they will wither.
Mm-hmm.
And I treat them as humans, as you can. It's true. They are people in my mind. In fact, I have a single section.
Plants?
Yes, yesterday I introduced a cactus to a fern, and they became very friendly, and I think they're going to have a baby wisteria.
So you actually match up plants. Are many of your plants married?
I marry them. I have...
perform the marriage.
Oh, yes. The mayor of the city gave me a
permit to marry them.
I put hats on the plants and put little veils on them.
Mm-hmm.
I usually take them in a boat to make it legal.
Mm-hmm.
Take them out in a boat and marry them.
Mm-hmm.
Premarital pollination we don't allow in the store.
Now, where do you cultivate and grow your own plants? Do you have a greenhouse or where do
yes,
you get your
Yes, I bring fertilizer in from Japan. That's so good that that a lot of the plants are short.
Mm-hmm.
We have a massage parlor
for plants.
That's right.
You massage
them. If you make them relax, they kind of bloom and expand, and they also show their fruit.
Thank you very much for being with us right here from Studio B.
Well, I bought the kind of robot that's supposed to cook and bake. I bought it at a discount, which I guess was a mistake. I ordered it to make some lunch, but it didn't know where to start. It just clinked and clanked around the room and began to fall apart. There goes its legs into the scrambled eggs. There goes its toes Into the buttered rolls, there goes its knee. Into the pot of tea, there goes its head. Into the bread, there goes its fingernail. Into the ginger ale, there goes its upper lip. Into the onion dip, there goes its eyebrow. Into the dog chow, there goes its ear. Into the beer. Now that thing was badly made, that was the simple truth. I tried to find the bill of sale, but it had fallen in the soup. So I screwed him back and shined him up, and he beeped a happy sound and proceeded to do exactly what he'd done the first time round. There goes its belly into the jelly. There goes his elbow into the jello. There goes his hand into the garbage can. There goes his cheeks into the beets. There goes his eye into the pie. There goes his thigh into the rye. There goes his nose into the donut holes. There goes his tooth in the vermouth. So if you buy a robot, better watch out for that deal. For what you save in money, you may lose in ruined meals. I took him from the kitchen, and now he's working great in his new job that I've given him. He's now the upstairs maid. There goes his head underneath the bed. There goes his hair into the easy chair. There goes his eyeball rolling down the hall. There goes his feet under the sheet.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by me, Steve Charney. Today's episode was also written with Kelly Kenyon. SteveCharney.com has lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, a sales page with CDs, DVDs, and books, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And there are two ways that you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs. If you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous programs. Or you can go to iTunes, type in my name, and download the podcasts. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.